I want to touch two things before we get into the Word. The first one is, I think most everybody here knows what happened in New York this week, that it was made legal to kill children right up to the moment of birth. It's a legal thing now, by law. And if you don't know about it, you haven't seen it, as a Christian, a follower of Jesus, it should not only break our hearts, something should be rising up inside of us because of the murder, the legal murder of kids. Now, I want to talk about abortion for a moment. This is a real sensitive subject in the church. Church is a haven. This is family. This is a safe place. This is a place to get your heart healed. This is a place to really learn how to put into practice the message of God's grace and see the fruit of it in our lives. But the reason, and you don't hear a lot of teaching about abortion in churches, is because we are very sensitive. This is typical. I'm not talking about just one church particularly, but generally, because probably half the church has been through an abortion, male and female. I've been through one. And there is a hole left in your heart, an empty spot, something that kind of stays with you for a long, long time. Unless you deal with this up front, face to face, with the Lord, and receive the freedom from the penalty of the sin that you were part of. It took me a long time to let myself off the hook. And I'm touching on this today because I need to talk about abortion for a few minutes. First of all, this is what the Lord gave me. I've been talking with the Lord about this for quite a while. And having been a part of it in my life, there was hurt, shame, guilt, condemnation for what I didn't have a lot of choice in this. Matter of fact, I really had just about zero. But I was still complicit. I played a part in this. There are some here who are still facing and going through the condemnation aspect of the penalty and trying to pay the penalty in their heart of the guilt and the shame and the hurt of having had an abortion or been a part of an abortion. God has given you freedom. Jesus has paid the price. God wants to fill the empty hole left by that abortion in your heart. There is a connection, absolutely. God wants to do that in you. There was a woman who was brought before Jesus in John chapter 8 who was caught in the very act of adultery. And the shame and the guilt and the condemnation that came with this, not only the accusation but the act of sin, would normally have caused her death. This is just kind of a picture of what we go through with the feelings of that come out of when we've sinned, made mistakes, what we face. God's grace through love has taken care of these things, but it is up to us to accept it, to accept the forgiveness, to accept the reality that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, to be able to look the Lord square in the eye and say, you know what? Thank you for what you've done for me, for freeing me. And to know that that little person that was a part of our lives for however long or short of a time is with the Lord, and we will see them. We have to know that. I want to pray for everybody that's been through this today. You don't have to stand up. You don't have to raise your hands. But I want to pray for you today because I want to talk about abortion. This is what's been on my heart for a long time. I was a part of a crisis pregnancy center when I lived in Las Vegas and ministering to men who had been through abortion, because men go through this too. And abortion being the evil that it is, because it is evil, and a lot of us got sucked in. There is no condemnation to you. Penalty's been paid. But here's what I want to say. I have not seen in our country any mega church. I'm talking about churches, I'm not talking about ministries. Parachurch ministries are different. There are some that are dedicated to the saving of those kids. But I have not seen a mega church or a denomination stand up as Christians against this horror. I haven't seen it. We don't see it. Mega churches that have the influence in this country don't do it. They're not standing. The only ones that are our Catholic brothers and sisters. They've made a stand. So here's my presentation to you of what's been on my heart. What happened this past week with the governor of New York signing the bill to kill children, older children, has, I hope, shaken Christians in this country a whole lot more than we've ever been shaken. The stain of murder in our country, this is my personal belief, I want this on the podcast, is as great or greater than what the Nazis did in Germany with the Holocaust and the Jews. It is forever. I'm talking about eternity. A stain on our country, like the stain that never left what the Nazis did to the Jews starting 80 years ago. That same stain is on us. I don't know. I've been asking the Lord, what should we do? What should we do as a church? What should I do? Because I can't let this go on anymore. Personally, I can't. In my conscience, in my heart, I can't be fat, dumb, and happy and just go about my own business and kind of take care of the church and take care of little things. I've got to have some involvement here. I have to. And so I don't know what that's going to be yet personally for me. And I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to offer to our church. But if you're interested in getting involved with me, would you send me an email and let me know? I am going to do something. I'm not going to live like this. And I'm not going to be so focused on my own life or just pastoring and just shepherding that I can't give some time, some effort, some financial support, some declaration about how wrong it is to this abortion, horrible abortion issue going on in our country. As a church, and I'm not sure, and I'll be real upfront with you, I'm not sure when I give an answer to the Lord for how I led and how I pastored, because I will. He'll ask me about what we did. I want to be able to say, we did something to save lives. We did something. We didn't just sit and say, well, you know, somebody else will take care of it. But we actually did something. That's my heart. That's what I wanted you all to know. If you want to do something with me, I don't know what it is yet, please contact me and we'll go from there, okay? I know I'm going. So I wanted to give that to you this morning. Now, for everybody that's been through an abortion, don't have to raise your hands and you don't have to come up front here, but I would like everybody to stand for just a minute. Please stand with me. Because this is, abortion is our society today. The morality of our society today, the morality of our country continues the downward spiral. Murder is legal. It is. Has been. And it's getting worse. But the effect on people coming out of it is a real thing. So I'm going to pray for you. Would you close your eyes? If you're involved or been involved or have been hurt by this, all I want to do is pray for you for just a minute, okay? And let's accept what Jesus did to heal you, to fill the hole that was left. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we come before you, those of us who have been a part of abortion, taken part in it, been a part in it, given the okay for it, sought it out. Whether we knew what we were doing or whether we didn't. Whether we understood the ramifications or we drank the Kool-Aid. Lord, right now, today, we're sorry. Will you forgive us? We know the forgiveness was already paid for. But in our hearts, we need to ask for that forgiveness. And then, Lord, will you help us right now, at this very moment, you who came to heal the brokenhearted, because this is a part of being brokenhearted. Lord, would you help us to fully accept the totality of your forgiveness in our hearts and in our lives? And Holy Spirit, our comfort, our friend, you are with us. Will you fill that empty spot, that hole that was left? Will you fill it up with your presence and your comfort and your love for us? Right now. And help us to accept you filling that hole. Lord, we love you. And we are grateful, and by faith, we take hold of what you have given us for the new creation you have made us, for the stand that we have in you, our position, our sonship, our daughtership. And we are grateful. And I'm asking that you show us, Lord, as a church and as individuals, what we're to do morally. Not turn our heads away, but what do we do? What's our part in battling this horror in our country from now on? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Rosie asked me the other day, she said, what are you going to say? And I said, I don't know yet. Because this is such a heavy, powerful, hurting, troubling, destructive subject. It needs to be addressed. It needs to be brought up in the front, in the open, and the light brought in on it. But people also need to know, who've been through this, you're not condemned. You're not condemned. The guilt, the condemnation is gone. And the Lord, as much as you will let Him, will fill the hole. Promise. Promise. Amen? Now that is a part of His provision. You see, God provides for us everything. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. And this is a part of His provision. Just addressing, healing, or allowing us to see the reality of who He is and what He's given in filling the holes and taking the penalty on Him and making us new. We're shining stars to Him. You know that? For real. Praise God. All right. That is a part of His provision. We've been on a series called God Always Provides. Right? Because He does. Because God always provides for you and me, every situation, every aspect of our lives, God always provides. Always. Say this with me. We make this every time. We say this every time. This is our declaration. God always provides for me. One more time. God always provides for me. Now, is anybody getting this? Is it getting real? Clear? Because He always does. Always, always, always. We say these things because what you're doing, again, you're persuading your heart. And again, real quick, your heart is more than your mind, will, and emotions. Let's expand it. It is the way you think. It's a processing aspect of your brain. It is your perception. It is what you think on. What's natural, what's normal, what kind of flows through there. It is your thinking. It is your feelings, not your emotions, but your feelings. There's a definite difference between the two. They do blend sometimes, but there's a difference. Your feelings, how you feel about God providing. How do you feel about it? Do you feel sure? Do you feel doubtful? Troubled? Fearful? Those aren't just emotions, those are feelings. Do you feel confident? And then there is the choices that we make, the decisions that we make. That's a part of our will. Because every single thing in this life, we have a choice to believe, to do, to disbelieve, to not to do, to accept, to not to accept. We make choices all the time. This is where I get, God is pro-choice and pro-life. God is not for abortion. Make it clear. Pro-choice, what I mean is, God is for us having a free will. It is a gift because we can choose. We can choose life or death. It's up to us. All right? So that is our heart. Getting our heart persuaded is a most important aspect of understanding how to live in God always provides for me. And getting your heart persuaded that this is true. It is the truth, but we have to get our heart persuaded because our hearts just naturally are distrustful or full of fear or have a filter on it that says, I'm not worthy. That's a part of the understanding God's grace. God's made you worthy. But it's the addressing the issues of the heart. So consequently, in our heart is where we learn to trust or distrust. This is what faith is built on. trust and distrust, learning to trust the Lord. Now, last week, the message is on really the trust challenge. Anybody really take the trust challenge? Can I see some hands? Praise God, you really took it. You really took the trust challenge. Anybody see a difference? Anybody see anything? Any manifestations? Keep your hands up, would you? Would you do that? Just keep your hands up. Way up. Way up. Good. Well, we have a number of testimonies. I would really appreciate it if you would write them down. Cool. I don't have time to bring you up today, but I'd like to have you write them down. And would you email them to me? I'd like to run some testimonies through up front, if you're comfortable with that, okay? Or I'll read it. There's already been breakthroughs. Last week, the Lord kind of interrupted things and had me pray a blessing on businesses. I had no idea we had so many people with businesses. And you know what? We had a number of wonderful, dramatic testimonies in changes in businesses already this week. You see, God wants to provide for you. It is His will to provide for you. Isn't that awesome? Praise God. All right, would you turn? We're going to start. The title of this message today is called Following the Cloud. Following the Cloud. Turn to Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. Hallelujah. Now, while you're getting there, I want to give you a brief excerpt on where this comes from. Israel, as a nation, was rescued from being slaves in Egypt. They've been slaves for over 400 years. Now, when God rescued Israel because of a promise that He made in His Word from Egypt, from slavery, hard slavery, He rescued them, He provided the rescue, He provided the freedom, and He provided great wealth for them when they came out. And He brought them out of Egypt, and He brought them across the Red Sea, and He brought them to a place where He could introduce Himself to them as a nation. And then He said, I'm really kind of synopsizing this, I'm taking you to a land that flows with milk and honey. I'm taking you to a land of great provision and great prosperity, and I want to blow you away with my goodness and my grace and my love for you, because you are my people. And I've got this for you. So they spent a year on the Exodus Trail, wandering, till they got ready to go into the promised land. And at that point, they said, no, God, we're afraid, we're stressed out, we're anxious, and we're just not going to do it. It's too much, too big. And He said, okay, then you're going to wander the Exodus Trail for another 40 years, for 40 years altogether, and you're going to think about this, and you're going to realize that I want to provide for you far greater, but you've limited me. So this was a teaching moment, a 40-year teaching moment for them. Now, Nehemiah kind of recaps what happened. So Nehemiah chapter 9, I want to read verses 19 through 21. He's talking about life on the Exodus Trail. Yet in all your manifold mercies, you, Lord, did not forsake or abandon them in the wilderness. The pillar of the cloud did not depart from them by day to lead them on the road, nor the pillar of fire by night to show them light and the way that they should go. You also gave your good spirit to instruct them and did not withhold your manna from their mouth, and gave them water for their thirst. 40 years you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out, and their feet did not swell. God provided food, water. They had flocks. They had animals. I mean, they weren't just eating manna. They did have meat. God provided meat too for them. God provided wholeness, health. Even their clothes did not wear out. And God took care of them. Now what they did was, during this time on the Exodus trail, they followed this cloud that was a pillar of cloud by day and a fire by night to give them light. God provided for them. They were following the cloud into His provision. When the cloud lifted up from where they worshiped, they knew it was time to trudge on. When the cloud settled down, they knew it was time to make camp. But they followed the leading of the Lord all the time. 40 years on the Exodus trail, and God always provided for them to get them ready for the next opportunity to cross over into a far greater blessing. When they crossed the Jordan River into the land of Canaan, which was their promised land. Now there's a lot of types and shadows in this, but here it is for us. God has promised us, same way, blessing upon blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And He has provided those things. Remember that provision is, this is how in the Greek, combination of the Greek and Hebrew, God, He looks ahead for every single one of us. I'm seeing what you're going to need. I'm seeing how to provide for you. I'm seeing how to care for you, far greater than what you think. And I've already furnished it. It's already there. Now, will you follow my lead to get to it? Because that's always the question. Are we going to follow the cloud? Or are we going to go a different way? Because the greater provision God has for us comes by His leading. Is He always going to take care of us, even when we go wacko? Yeah. But He's going to be able to get a greater provision to us, a greater care to us, if we will follow the cloud or follow His leading into what He's furnished ahead. Because that's really what He's trying to get us to. It is always, always, always our choice whether to follow His lead or follow the cloud or not. It is given to us. This is a part of, again, part of the gift of free will. We can choose to follow it into the greater provision, or we can say, you know what, I don't want to. I'm too scared. That's the reason for the trust challenge and learning how in our hearts to really trust Him. So we can choose it. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. I want to give you a couple. I call these God tweets. They are. To me, they are. They're short, they're powerful, they're supernatural. They make an impact in our lives. Proverbs 14, verse 12. There is a way that seems right to a man or woman. Now that comes by our own reasoning in our own heart. There is a way that seems right to a man or woman, but its end is the way of death. There's no pluses on this side. It's leading ourselves into what? Into the provision that we make. It's a far greater trust in ourselves. Proverbs 21, verse 2 says, every way of a man or woman is right in their own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. Every way of a man or woman is right or correct or the right way to go in their own eyes, in their own thinking, in their own heart, in their own agendas, in our own purposes, in our own wants, in our own carnality or in our own understanding or in our own perception, because our trust is in us. It doesn't work that way. And how this works, the Lord weighs the hearts. When he says this in the Hebrew, it means the Lord, he looks at the balance of everything going on inside of us and the way we think and in the way that we feel and the choices that we make. You say, what is me in here? Are you listening to me? Are you allowing me to lead you into the best, or are you just really want what you want because you want it? Because I want better for you than what you want. So what are you choosing? Lastly, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. And this is familiar to a lot of us. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord. There's that big word. Trust in the Lord, not in yourself. For all of us. Man, that's hard. Isn't it so much easier to trust in you and me? Not when you really get down to it. Trust. Now, to trust means, again, this is a combination of the Greek and Hebrew. To trust means to be, it's a place, this sense of trust is a place of confidence and security and safety, and be able to be bold in that security and that safety in applying that trust to him. That's what it looks like. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. The way you think, your feelings, and your choices. And lean not on your own understanding and perception and reasoning. In all your ways, acknowledge him. Now, acknowledging him isn't just saying, yeah, I acknowledge you. Yep, you're there. Yep, you're true. Yep, you're God. Yep, I'm not. To acknowledge him in the Hebrew means to know him. It's relational. It's totally relational. To know him. And he shall direct your path into the best of what he has for you, because you're not in the way. Make sense? The Israelites followed his visible presence. I mean, they could see the cloud and they could see the light, and they did not have him inside. They did not have the Holy Spirit inside of them, and so they needed a visible, tangible something to follow so that they could receive his provision, so that he could provide for them. And they always had a choice whether to follow or not to follow. Always. Again, that's always there, and just like we do. But for us, it's different. And Jesus prepares the way. He says in John chapter 10, verse 14, John 10, verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. First of all, Jesus is a good shepherd. A good shepherd is somebody who is leading, and the sheep follow. And so many times we're in our own reasoning, in our own perception, in our own hearts, we're running out ahead to get what God's provided for us rather than just following him into it, because we really don't trust the shepherd. We say we do, but in action, in actuality, we really don't, because we have to get out in front. We really do. We can't wait on him to lead. We don't know that we can trust him. We covered this last couple of weeks. We can trust him because he is the good shepherd. He says, I know my sheep. I don't think we really reflect on this very often, truthfully. Jesus says, I know you. I know you. You're his sheep. He knows you. He knows me. I know you. I know what I've looked ahead and seen for you and what I've already furnished for you. It's already there because I know you. And then he compliments it with, and my sheep know me. Now this is the other aspect of the relationship, because we'll be able to follow a good shepherd the more we know him. Because the more we know him, the more we can trust or are willing to trust and take that trust challenge more and more. And I'm going to tell you, the more you take the trust challenge, the bigger it gets. Really, it just gets bigger. And with it getting bigger, God's provision gets bigger. Just learning to trust him. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now this is the beginning of really understanding how to follow the cloud, New Testament-wise. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Because we hear his voice. You might be thinking, oh man, how do I hear him? And this is always the question that comes, how do I hear him? Oh, come on. How do I hear him? And we make it so much harder than it really is. It is so easy. I don't want to make this too difficult. But it's so easy to hear the voice of our shepherd, our personal shepherd, if we'll just listen. I mean, it takes being born again, but you have to stop and listen. Most of the time, we're pounding the pavement, charging ahead, trying to get what God's provided for us our own way. Doesn't work that way. That's settling for table scraps, realistically. You want the best of what he has for you, that he's already furnished? Then it's following him, following Jesus as our shepherd. Knowing his voice, stopping and listening instead of putting our heads down and charging ahead. There's more to this, and I'll get into this in a minute. Would you turn with me to Psalm 23? Because I want to give you a picture of a good shepherd. I think every Christian has heard this. A lot of the world has heard this. People read this psalm at funerals who have, they haven't known the Lord. If you're just waiting for the casket to catch on fire. And they read Psalm 23. That's how well known this is. But here's the point. How do we believe it? Because this is the good shepherd Jesus is talking about for you, for me. Verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd, not me. I shall not want or lack any good thing. He makes me lie down in green pastures where there is provision more than I can take. He leads me beside the still waters. I never have to thirst. He restores my soul. And in this restoring my soul, it is my heart and everything going on in my heart to trust him in this relationship. The restoration of my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and remember, the shadow of death is only a shadow. Death's already been conquered. I'm reading this through the cross, okay? He says, I will fear no evil. None. I don't have to. I don't have to be stressed. I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to be anxious. I will fear no evil because I don't have to. The Lord is my shepherd, not me. It says, for you are with me. It's a declaration because you never leave me or forsake me, Lord. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You can look around and say, you know what? You can't touch me. You might think you can, and you might have given me some trouble, but God is my provider. I don't care what has come and what has tried to take and what has tried, flesh or the devil, has tried to come against me. But I have a table, those are enemies, set before me in front of them. And that is victorious. And that is a table that is full of provision. You anoint my head with oil. My cup isn't just filled to the top, but it runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is a picture of Jesus. That is the picture he wants us to have for us, because God always, this is what this is all about. This isn't a funeral dirge. This is, oh my gosh, Lord, you're always going to provide for me. This is how you lead me, you, into what you have already provided for me. And it's big and it's good. If we can get this into our hearts and we can start to trust God in every aspect of our life where it builds into faith, man, there is no limit. Because this is where we limit God in providing for us. All right. Jesus is our shepherd. And he has provided the Holy Spirit to us, who lives in us. The presence, this blows me away. Actually, I was thinking about this the other day, and I came to Rosie and I said, oh my gosh, the life of God is in me. You ever had that, something just hit you? I know this. But the life of God is in you. He has given you the Holy Spirit as your personal cloud to follow right into the best of how he's already provided for you. John 14, verses 16 and 17. I will pray the Father, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. This is to all disciples of Jesus, that he may abide and remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, not the spirit of deception, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. It is our choice to follow the cloud in our own personal lives. It's based in a trust relationship. It is going into how God has provided every single thing in our lives for us. Are we willing to be led? Do we choose to be led? Or are we going to lead? And it comes down to this every single time. If you know and are absolutely assured that God always provides for you, then all you have to do is follow the cloud. That's it. Into his provision. I want to give you these points in how to follow the cloud, the Holy Spirit, who is in you right now. If you're born again, if you're not born again, you got no Holy Spirit in you, but you can today. If you do have the Holy Spirit in you, came from being born again, this is how to do it. Number one, when you face something you need or something that you know you have to have the provision in your life, you God has got to provide this. This is something that you know that is His will. It is for you. God has made the way. Let me just use this. I wanted so badly to be married before I knew Rosie. Man, not everybody's made to be married. Very few are not made to be married. Most people are made to be married. We're created for this. It's in us. I said, God, I so want a wife who loves you like I do, and I'm not willing to settle anymore. I made a big mistake in the past. I'm not willing to settle. And the Lord told me He had someone for me. He made me a promise. He gave me His word. And then He led me through 13 years of waiting and a number of counterfeits to the best. That was what He had provided. It was far greater than I could ever dream up. Does God always provide for you in relationships and friendships and family and finances and everything? God always provides for you. Stop when you're in the midst of thinking about this stuff and the panic and the fear and the anxiousness. Stop. Interrupt that thought. You have to interrupt it. If you're walking down the street, or if you're in your house, or you're out with friends, or you're driving the car, just say stop out loud. You're going to interrupt that thought. Okay? That's the first thing. Just interrupt the thought. Stop. Number two, you're looking at everything else going on around you. You got your eyes focused on it. You're thinking about it. It's in your mind. It's going on all the time. It's right there in front of your face. And you're looking at it. Now, when you've stopped, you change your direction of your sight, your eyesight, and look at Jesus. Hebrews 12, verse 2. And what He's already done. Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. Stop! Change your focus. Look at Jesus. What has He already done? He's already provided for you. Okay? That's number two. Number three. This is what we so forget to do. Ask Him for direction. Man, I'm chugging along. I'm running my own way. I'm full of panic and full of fear. And I don't know if I can trust You anymore in this, because I haven't seen it right now and it's not happening. And stop. Look at Him. What He's done. Lord, I've stopped. I think I need a direction change. But I'm not sure. What am I doing? Where am I going? What is You? What is not? You lead. I'll follow. I'm going to make a course correction here based on what You tell me. Or not. But I can do this in peace. If I'm going the right way, I can do it in peace, but He's going to confirm it. Stop and ask Him. Number four. I've got all the scriptures on this if you want them. I'm not going to give them all right now. Number four. Desensitize your heart. Desensitize your heart to the circumstances that are going on. Desensitize, harden your heart to what's going on right then and there. And here's what is one of those necessary things. Pray in tongues. If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues, this is a necessary part of your life. You're going to build yourself up in your most holy faith, Jude 20 and 21. And you're going to desensitize your heart to the things that are going on. You're going to sensitize your heart to hearing God speak to you. You're going to tune your ears up, your spiritual ears up. And you're going to get some clarity by praying in tongues. Number five. Here's the hard part. Listen to what He's saying. What is He saying to your heart? If the shepherd knows you, and you know he knows you, you know it up here, you know it in your head, you know it in your intellect, but you don't necessarily believe it in your heart, it's time to let this stuff start dropping into your heart. You have to let it. You have to choose it. But listen to what he's saying, to the voice of God speaking to you. What is he saying? Jesus said, my sheep, my people, the ones that I love so dearly, they know my voice because we have a relationship. You know, if Jesus had a Facebook page, he'd say to you, he said, we're in a relationship. He would. On his Facebook page regarding you, he'd say, we're in a relationship. Would your Facebook page say the same thing? In reality, my sheep hear my voice. They know me and they follow me because they trust me, because I'm the good shepherd. Listen to what he's saying to you. Number six, choose to follow him, not you. I know this sounds simple. Everything we face is a choice. Lord, what do you want me to do? What are you leading me to do? I'm going to follow you. I'm not going to follow me. And if I have to not move and not do anything until I hear from you, so be it. But I choose to follow you. It is a choice, and it is a choice every time, in every situation, and wherever you need God to provide, wherever you're seeing you need God to provide in something, and the circumstances are in your face, then, Lord, I choose to follow you in this situation. I'm not going to do my own best reasoning, my own best guess, my own best thinking, my own best based on my heart and my perceptions. And lastly, don't be sedentary. Get up and move. Don't just sit there. Get up and move. You're going to put faith with this work. A work with your faith. You're going to put an effort with your faith. You're going to put some movement, something that you're going to give God something to work with in here so he can lead you into that provision he's got for you. Ephesians 3 verse 20 says, now him too is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power of God that works in us to lead us into his provision for us. Would you stand with me, please? Next week is the last week on God Always Provides. And we're going to cover some sticky points. And I believe in Jesus' name, my faith is there that it will all click. It's really now just the walking it through. I expect God to provide for me. Do I always see it right in front of my face? Immediately? Nope. Do I trust him to do it? Absolutely. Absolutely. Anybody have a hard time hearing or think you do? Anybody have a hard time following the cloud? It's okay to raise your hand. Okay? Anybody else? James, Joanne, Pat, come on up here. Lucy, come on up here too, will you? Will you come on up? I think today is a day of just instruction. I'm going to wrap up. State of the church is at 1 o'clock. But those of you that need prayer, need some instruction on hearing God and hearing him clearly, would you step up here right now, please? Because they're going to tell you how to do it. They're going to pray for you. Expect it to happen. Come on up. Anybody else? Come on, Judy. Just step right on up here. Get in front of somebody. God wants you to hear him. And he wants to be able to lead you. If we'll hear and follow. That's all. Because again, he wants us to follow his cloud, the one that is in us, into the absolute abundance of what he's already provided for us. I mean, the best. I don't want table scraps. I don't want the crumbs. I don't want the best of what I can do. Man, it doesn't even compare with what he can do, what he's given. I want the best. I mean the best of the best. I'm not willing to settle. That's what we've got. That's what he's got for us. And that's what's yours. If you want to learn how to hear his voice, you want some instruction, get up here. Father, in Jesus' name, we're wrapping up this service with this. Thank you for leading us into your provision every time in every aspect of our lives, because it is always bigger and better and more than we can do on our own. In Jesus' name, amen.